The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Mr. Cameron? You okay?
Scotland!
And that is the most positive you'll hear, Ewan, about Scotland on the podcast today. Relentlessly negative throughout the game on Saturday. Moan. It was...
Right. We've only just begun.
Yeah.
As the carpenters once said.
See what I did there?
I don't even get that reference.
You do?
I don't.
We've only just begun. No?
No. I'm way too young for that.
Close to you.
No. That's a different song.
I know it's a different song, but I'm just doing Carpenter songs to see if you'd know what they were.
I've heard of the Carpenters, but I don't know specifically lines in their song.
Come on. So we've just begun and he's already having a pop. I'm in a good mood.
Good.
Right?
Excellent. Well,
I went to see Marty Pello at the weekend.
You're obsessed.
Well, he's of my generation, all right? And he's a lovely guy, and his songs bring back great memories and nostalgia for me. When I was young, free, single, I was fashionable, I was hot.
I don't believe that.
No,
I was a good looking boy. I was, there's
really?
There's a lot of women out there.
Did you hear that sound he made there? You're talking about yourself.
There's a lot of women out there from my past who are thinking, really? He's the one that got away.
No, there's not.
There's not one
woman out there that thinks that.
Intern John, nobody's speaking to you, all right? I am speaking to the audience of the podcast. They see me, they know it.
Cool.
You see me, you know it.
We're going to look back on all the football from the weekend. Scotland, obviously, and all the lower league action as well, I should say. Plus, everyone is raving about the new Scotland top, asking, what is your favourite strip of all time? We've got loads to get through.
Whoa.
What?
I'm sorry.
What?
I think the new Scotland top is probably the best Scotland top, in my opinion, but there is a controversy.
Yeah, there is. Of course there is.
The price.
Yeah.
We're not going to gloss over the price. And I know that you take the SFA pound, Mr. Stephen Mill, and you'll have nothing said negatively about the SFA because you take their pound every other month. And you're going to be like protecting their name, protecting their brand.
I actually get paid through a third party for that. So,
but who pays a third party?
If you want the details.
Right, so he's going to be very positive about all things Scotland, whereas I'm going to call it as I see it and tell the truth.
Yeah, you're just going to be relentlessly negative.
Stephen Mill is a PR man for the SFA, so please welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast with, from the SFA, Stephen Mill, and me, your proper Scotland Tartan Army football fan, Ewan Cameron.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Okay.
I can't believe that Stephen Mill has turned into a PR man for a big corporate entity. I mean, I didn't see that day ever coming.
Why are you so negative about Scotland, though?
No, I'm talking about you.
I'm talking about you. Why are you so negative about Scotland?
He also makes a playlist for Dunfermline FC, so you can't say anything negative about Dunfermline because he's in with the bricks there as well. So he's in with the bricks with Dunfermline, in with the bricks with the SFA. So this is going to be a really interesting podcast.
It's Dunfermline Athletic, I think you'll find as well.
So when I get a wee bit negative about our performance at the weekend and about the price of the strip, watch Mr. PR Man here defend the SFA.
What's on your playlist for Dunfermline Athletic, Stephen? Joe and Banjos.
Oh, very good.
Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves.
Very good. The Falkirk fan across there. Aye, yeah. What's it, 11 points the gap now? 11 points.
Move on.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah. If Scottish football were a bakery as well, we'll get to that a wee bit later on. And we've got a new one for next week as well. But let's start with Scotland on Saturday. 3 points, 3 goals, a clean sheet. What more do you want, Ewan Cameron?
Okay, for those of you who did not hear the big Saturday football show, Stephen Mill was trying at the start there to put some sort of like negative spin on something that he may have said on Saturday. The guy clearly didn't listen to anything that I was saying, because I said at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before kickoff, that I fully expected Scotland to win. I had no doubt about it in my mind that Scotland would win. And I said that they would win by 2-0. Okay, they won 3-0. But there was never any doubt in my mind, because the team that we were playing were 110th in the world rankings and are the lowest ranked team in the group.
I'm glad you brought up what you were saying on Saturday, because I've got it right here.
But the longer it goes on at 1-0, they'll get a wee bit more confident. They will push on in the final 5 to 10 minutes and try and get something from a set piece and or a mistake from
and
Scotland.
And then we can hit them on the break.
But what I'm saying is...
That's how it's going to work.
So what was I right or were you right there?
Okay.
Because Cyprus, they did push forward. I'll give you that. You were correct there. Mm-hmm. They did push forward in the final 5-10 minutes. And then what happened? Scotland scored another 2 goals and made it comfortable.
In the dying minutes.
That's exactly what I said would happen, and that's what happened.
You interrupted me while I was in my flow.
Deliberately.
Mr. SFAPR man, just give me a chance to explain my thoughts ahead of the game.
There's no explaining
against Cyprus, right? This is a podcast. There's no rush here. Don't need to do everything in 2 minutes. We can debate stuff. I said at 1:15 on Saturday afternoon, we would win comfortably. I didn't see us being troubled by Cyprus because they're 110th in the world rankings and they're the lowest ranked team in the group that we are in. What I said to you, and I stand by it, is that we will win, but I'm not concerned about that. What I am looking at is a performance. I want to see a performance. I would see us on the front foot and get after them and score goals. I thought we were pretty poor. I thought it was a bit pedestrian at times. Now, you could argue Scotland did what they had to do, which is what we fully expected, was to get the 3 points. Nobody didn't think we wouldn't get it. I just had an issue with the overall performance and the way that we approached the game. That was my negative. That was the only negative for me. I also do not like the 3-5-2 formation. I don't like the back three. I've always said that, and I'm sticking by it. Robbie Nielsen does it at Hearts. I've got a real issue with it. I think Scotland are not set up for a back three. I think we're far better with a back four, and that has been proved in recent results. The four previous games to the game that we played there against Cyprus, we got 3 positive results with a back four because Andy Robertson was injured. But as soon as Andy Robertson was back, we shoehorned him back into a back three, and we lost to Turkey by 2-1, and we were overran in midfield. Now, you could have played Stephen Mill, the SFAPR man, in the back three for Scotland at the weekend and would have won. I could have been in goals instead of Angus Gunn and we would have won. But you can't go with a back three against Spain. If we go a back three against Spain, they're going to pass round us and they're going to absolutely hammer us. We need to match up in the midfield.
So you think if we play 4 at the back against Spain, we'll beat Spain?
I never said that. But we need to match up with them.
So do you not think it's entirely possible we could play 4 at the back against Spain and get battered as well?
I think there's less chance of it happening if we play a back
based
4.
Based on what?
If we listen, I watched. Do you want me to talk about Norway just now in Scotland?
We'll get to Spain in a second. 3-5-2. You've got a problem with that?
I've got a huge problem with that.
So when we are playing bigger teams, he's always going to play 5 at the back. All right? He just is. He's going to play 5. Like we did against England at Wembley, and we got the draw 0-0, played really well.
Croatia.
Yeah.
Played 5 at the back.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Czech Republic,
but
played 5 at the back.
I bet. We're talking about a different level.
Ukraine, World Cup qualifier at hand, and played 5 at the back, and we got overrun in midfield. Got beat. We then go back to a back 5 against Turkey in that friendly, and they overrun us.
Turkey friendly, like anyone cares about it. What? He brought Andy Robertson back in on Saturday and he got 2 assists. He set up 2 of the goals.
I'm not saying you drop Andy Robertson, you tube.
So you drop Kieran Tierney, who absolutely strolled out at the weekend. Played so well at the weekend, Tierney.
What does Man United do? Let's talk about Man United for a second.
Why are we talking about Man United? Right. Man
United play a back 4. And wait a minute.
What's that got to do with anything?
See, my knowledge of football is greater than yours.
Bayern Munich play a back 3. They're unbeaten in the Champions League this season.
Once I make my point, you'll understand what I'm getting at, right? So Manchester United play a back four. Their left centre back is Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw is generally a left back. So you could
Shaw's been playing left back this season.
No, he's been playing left centre back.
No, he hasn't.
He has been playing
left centre back once or twice.
Right. Okay, you need to do your research, boys, right? You know nothing. I mean, you're so blinkered.
He's been playing Martinez at left centre half.
Your football knowledge is not particularly good. I am here to educate you.
Are you suggesting
Luke Shaw has not been playing at left centre half? I never said all season.
So what's your point then? He has been playing at left centre back.
He played a number of games. He played in the cup final against Newcastle at left centre back as well. Anyway, here's my point. You could easily put Kieran Tierney in at left centre back with Andy Robertson at left back.
As a two. Kieran Tierney as a two.
Why? What's wrong with putting Kieran? Martin is a smaller than Tierney and he plays at centre back for Man United. Luke Shaw's about the same height as Tierney and plays at left centre back for Man United. Height doesn't matter. It's about your football knowledge. And you're putting a McKenna next to him or a Hanley or a Hendry or something. We need to get away from 3-5-2. That's my point. We have to get away from that because I don't think it suits the players. It's square pegs and round holes. It really is. I think if we go with a 4-2-3-1, that's what I would do. And my four would be, obviously, right back, you've got Hickey, you could have Patterson, whoever. You'd have Hanley, McKenna, or possibly Hendry.
Both who are injured at the moment.
I'm just saying, I'm just talking generally here. You could have Tierney at left centre back, Robertson left back, the two in front, McTominay. Wait a minute!
You're talking so much nonsense.
Listen to me, McTominay.
Luke Shaw has been playing at left back for Man United. In the cup final, Martinez was playing. Varane was playing. Dallow was right back, and Luke Shaw was right back.
I'm telling you right
against
now.
Fulham, to be fair to you, he played left centre half for a wee bit.
He's played at left centre back a lot of games.
He's not.
My point is that Tierney can play left centre back, and in front of them, McTominay and McGregor. And then in front of them, supporting the attack.
Why are you dropping Ryan Jack? Ryan Jack had a good game at the weekend. Why are you dropping him?
My first choice would always be McTominay. That's just my opinion.
Right.
So I'd have McTominay and McGregor sat in front of the back four, right? And if need be, McTominay can drop in while Robertson and Patterson do their things in the fullback position. And then in front of them,
you're dropping Hickey then, who played really well.
Well, whoever. But then you've got McGinn in front of them, supporting the attack with Christie possibly. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, what's
your issue with 4-2-3-1?
I don't have an issue with
4-2-3-1.
Right,
well, shut up then. Well, why are you arguing with me?
But because I think this suits the players that we've got better.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Right. Do you think he'll... I was listening to Clyde Super Scoreboard on Saturday when I drove home.
Yeah.
Jim Duffy, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, who know better than any of us, they said... We have to go with a back four against Spain because if we don't, they're going to overrun us in midfield. Those are three pundits.
They'll overrun us anyway, Spain.
They will overrun us, and I respect each of them because they agree with my opinion.
Honestly, they're
right. They're absolutely right. And then I flicked over to another radio station and I heard, who was it again? Some nondescript person, another station, was also saying as well that his fear is that we'll get overrun in midfield if we go with a back three, and he may have to tweak it to match up against Spain. And I think they're right.
If he does that, then fine.
I hope he does, but I think he's stubborn. I think he's a stubborn manager.
I wouldn't play Tierney though. If I went to a back four, I would certainly not play Tierney in the back four. Because I actually agree in ways with you. Against Spain, I think we should go to a back four, Ewan.
Right, John.
But I would not put Tierney in at left centre.
John, but you look at the size of that Spain team. I watched them against Norway. They don't put crosses in. It's all about pace and movement. It's all about ticky-tacky football and all that kind of thing. So you've got nothing to worry about in regards to height, if that's what you're getting at, with Tierney in a left centre back.
It's more about the positional sense, because I don't even remember at Celtic Kieran Tierney playing in a two.
If he can play left centre back in a back three, he can play left centre back in a back four.
You're obsessing over something that we have no control over.
Why are you putting your head in your hands?
Because it's just not you're building this up to be a big, big, massive thing, and I just really don't think it is.
Tactics and formations is a huge part of football. If you get it wrong, if you get the team selection wrong, it'll come back to bite you. What I'm saying is that Stevie Clark, the Scotland manager, needs to be a wee bit more flexible, and instead of trying to shoehorn players in because they're our best players, isn't the best decision for a team. Let's look back, right? Sven-Göran Eriksson, when he was in charge of England.
Man, going back 20 years to talk about Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Right, Sven-Göran Eriksson, right, when he was in charge of England,
and he tried to play Gerrard and Lampard and Scholes and all that stuff,
but he wasn't doing what was right for the team because he had to shoehorn the best players into the team. So that was to the detriment of the team overall because it made them lopsided or it made them not quite gel. And I think you have to sacrifice either Tierney or Robertson for the best of the team. That's my point, and I've always said that. I'm not just saying this on the back of Cyprus.
But I don't think you do, though.
I've been saying it consistently, Stephen.
I know. I know. I've heard you consistently going on and on and on about it. Honestly, the obsession with this three at the back or four at the back, he might tweak it tomorrow night. And will you come on the podcast next week and say, oh, well done, he's put four at the back and we get beat 5-0? Will you? Of course you won't. You'll be slaughtering them. You'll be absolutely slaughtering them because you've got his tactics wrong. Should have played three at the back. I've been saying that all along. God almighty.
Right, okay. Right, I've had my say on it.
Okay.
Do you like square pegs and round holes?
I think that Kieran Tierney is more than capable of playing on the left-hand side of a three and playing very well. He overlaps. He did that so well on Saturday, I thought the left-hand side was by far... That's where everything was coming in.
Do you think that Kieran Tierney can play in the left centre-back position in a back four?
Yes.
Right. So you'd have no problem if there was to make that decision?
No problem.
Right, okay.
So I've got nothing against four at the back. So don't see it as a massive issue like you do. If he changes it to four, then fine.
Can you put a square peg in a round hole? Can you do that?
What are you talking about?
Can you put a square peg in a round hole?
Kieran Tierney.
I'm asking you. I'm talking about if I gave you a children's toy, right, and I gave you a block and it was square and I asked you to put in that round circle, could you put it? Could you insert that square peg in a round hole? Could you? Could you do it?
Shut up.
Without having a tool at your mercy, couldn't force that in.
So wait a minute. You would drop Kieran Tierney to play, for example... Dominic Higham, who's never played for Scotland before.
No, again, you're putting words in my mouth. I would play Kieran Tierney.
You play Kieran Tierney,
left centre back.
Right,
you're putting a square peg into a round hole.
Exactly. Then. You're doing exactly what you're accusing me of doing.
Yeah, but I can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I found a way to put the square peg in the round hole.
So listen, this is how Saturday was, right? This is how Saturday actually was. First half, I thought we did okay. Absolutely dominated everything. Cyprus are a total gang. They were never going to pose us any threat whatsoever. If you're listening to the Big Saturday Football Show during the second half, you'll have heard Ewan Cameron wetting his knickers over the second half performance. Now, it wasn't great. I'm not going to sit here and I thought we were amazing the second half. We absolutely weren't. But what happened is exactly what I said in that clip. They were quite happy for Cyprus to have the ball because they knew they weren't going to do anything with it because they're absolutely terrible at football. So they were quite happy. Cyprus just sitting there and trying to hit them on the break. Last 10 minutes, Cyprus tired. We ended up winning the game comfortably. 3 points, 3 goals, a clean sheet. You can't ask for more than that in the opening of a campaign. Yeah, it wasn't a perfect performance. John McGinn, I actually agreed with him after the game. He was like, listen, yep, happy we got the win, but lots to improve on. Steve Clark said the same thing.
Correct.
After the game as well, and I completely agreed.
They agreed with me.
No, you're just being relentlessly negative about
it. Again, I'll ask you, can you put a square peg in a round hole? I found a solution. Can you?
Well, we won on Saturday. Tuesday's a different kettle of fish.
Yes, it is.
Spain are a complete different level from not just Cyprus, but from us as well. Spain are a fantastic football team. That's not to say that we can't cause them problems. I think we can. And especially with the crowd at Hampden, off the back of the weekend, what a positive result as well. The players are going to be confident going into it. I think he'll make a couple of changes. Probably the team that ended on Saturday might be the one that starts. I think Dykes will come in, obviously, because Shea Adams is injured. He'll definitely come in, I would imagine. Shankland obviously getting called up as well. Then I think Christie will probably start, even though I thought Armstrong did well in the first half. Second half, he faded out the game, but I thought he had a decent game in the first half. And also, I think McTominay probably will start ahead of Ryan Jack as well.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think he'll keep roughly, he might tweak a few things, but I think it's going to be the three at the back again, probably looking more like a five when Spain are attacking. But I think that squad and that team is capable of putting in a big performance. And if we can get a point against Spain, that would be huge.
Massive.
It would be a huge, huge result.
I will say this to you.
Tell you what, just quickly.
Go on.
If he sticks with the three at the back and we manage to get a 1-1 draw against Spain,
are we doing cartwheels?
Exactly.
Right.
So my whole point is, you're obsessing over the three at the back, which is fine, but I think you're obsessing over it, and I don't think it's that big an issue. If he tweaks it, he tweaks it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And I don't think playing four at the back is going to make that much of a difference against Spain, to be perfectly honest.
So on Saturday, we beat Cyprus, and I'm already worried about Spain. So I sat down 5 hours later to watch Spain take on Norway in Spain, in Malaga. And I watched the entire 90 minutes, and I came off the back of watching that game thinking, oh, we could get something from Spain at Hampden tomorrow night. Because Norway, who aren't a great side, let's be honest about it, they created some great chances. I mean, Sørloth, the striker, at 1-0 in the 78th, 80th minute, misses a sitter. I mean, literally one of the worst sitters you will ever see. I mean, he's in front of goal on the volley and he skews it wide. I don't know how he misses it. Kepa made a couple of really good saves as well. Norway opened them up. They played it really, really well. And what they did do, which I thought was really good, is that they went a 4-1-4-1. And what they did is that the two wide men, as soon as Spain lost possession, they were really quick down the wings and were playing them in behind to get in behind Spain and get crosses into Sørloth. Odegaard was pulling the strings as well. I was impressed with Norway because I think they got their tactics right. But ultimately, Spain went on to win it comfortably 3-0. But up until that point, Norway were in that game. Kepa was their man of the match for Spain. He was outstanding. So because of that, I think we've got a chance on Tuesday night. I really do. I think we could get something from this game. If we get it right tactically and the crowd get up for it, we could get something from it. And I wouldn't even go, I would also go even suggest we could steal it.
I wouldn't go that far.
We're not big fans of Norway. We don't think they're that great a side, and their recent record would prove that.
Haaland is injured at the moment, so wasn't playing, which is a massive, massive miss for them. But they've still got Odegaard.
Sander Berger's good.
Elianus is a decent player as well. They do have decent players. We're not saying that at all. But
I mean,
the one thing I liked about Scotland on Saturday, we could bring players on that made a difference.
Affects the game.
Christie made a difference. McTominay made a difference. Yeah. Dykes made a difference as well. All three subs made a difference. And you look along the bench and there's actually a bit of depth there as well. Not up front. We're struggling up front. Yeah. And we always will be for the foreseeable by the looks of it. Shanklin's obviously coming into the squad because Adams is injured. So he'll be the sort of backup for Lyndon Dykes. He'll probably come on later on, I would imagine. But if you take that out, for the rest of the team, we've got really good cover, I think.
Yeah.
You're taking a player off, you're bringing on a player who's just as good, I think.
And they're also playing at a very decent level with decent football clubs as well, which is why I'm more confident about the Spain game than I was on Saturday.
I think Norway have got a pretty decent starting 11, but beyond that,
No, there's nothing. No, there's nothing.
So a couple of injuries, couple of suspensions. I noticed Odegaard got booked at the weekend as well, so if he picks another booking during the week, then that means he'll be missing for the game in the summer.
Correct.
So there's stuff like that that comes into play as well. So I think, I'm calling it right now, we're finishing second in this group. I think we're going to qualify through the group. No hassle with playoffs. We've got that in the bank, which is great. We managed to get that, win the Nations League and all the rest of it. But I think we're qualifying from this group. There's enough in this team, there's enough in this squad that we can finish above Norway. Tuesday, it's almost a free hit. If we get something, fantastic. If we don't, that means we just need to hope Spain batter everyone else, which it looks like they're capable of doing.
Producer John, are Norway playing tomorrow night again?
Yeah, they will be, yeah.
No, there's five teams in each group, so I don't know if they're playing. Because Georgia have still to play, so I wonder who they're playing. It might be Norway at home, I'm guessing. If it is,
Norway are away to Georgia.
Oh, they're away to Georgia after being away to Spain. Wow. So that's a tricky one for them.
So exactly. Yeah, and by the way, Georgia away is going to be a tricky one for us because you've got the boy up front that plays with Napoli, yeah, who is meant to be absolutely sensational.
He's unreal.
So, but again, the rest of Georgia, the team isn't.
No, it's ordinary.
It's ordinary. Yeah. So,
by the way, could Georgia please get a draw against Norway? Because then it puts all the pressure on Norway when it comes to the game in the summer against them. But I know you're very confident about finishing second, and I've also predicted that we will finish second in that group, but I don't think it'll be as easy as you think it will be.
I don't think it'll be easy. I think
it goes to the wire.
But we're also capable of going to Norway and winning. We're absolutely capable of doing that.
My fear for that game is it's at the end of a long, hard season. It'll be for both teams.
Yeah.
It'll be for both teams. It'll just... Who's going to be fitter?
Odegaard's maybe just won the Premier League with, yeah, Arsenal. Haaland could be involved stages of the Champions League. So I think it's going to be tight, but we are more than capable of going to Norway and winning.
If somebody said to me right now, you get a point against Spain tomorrow night, I'd bite your hand off for it. If somebody said to me, you're going to get a point in Norway, in Oslo in the summer, I'd bite your hand off for that.
What's interesting about Norway's fixtures, they play Georgia tomorrow night, then they play us at home, then they play Cyprus at home, and then they play Georgia at home.
So they, three home games.
They'll be looking at that and thinking,
9 points.
If we can get 9 points, yeah, for that, that puts us. And then they're away to Cyprus, and then they must be playing Spain. Then they play us in the final game, yeah, away from home.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tight, but I think we are capable of beating Norway in Norway. And if we do that, that's a huge step.
Oh, if we beat Norway, Norway's done. Second. It's done.
And again, if Norway drop points against Georgia, that puts us in a great position.
Yeah.
A great position, because that means that if we can go to Georgia and win, which we obviously haven't always done, but my thinking on that is we're due a win in Georgia.
Well, see, there's a song there as well, isn't there? Midnight in Georgia. Midnight in Georgia. Who sang that?
Midnight Train to Georgia.
Dusty Springfield?
No.
No, it was Gladys Knight.
Very good. Well done, producer John.
Yeah, well done.
Midnight Train to Georgia.
Different Georgia, though.
We've only just begun.
Georgia, like Atlanta, Georgia, as opposed to.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, the Masters are on this week.
In the caucuses. Yeah. Right. That's where Georgia is. That's what they call it.
Oh, part of the caucuses, yes.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
What, any more on Scotland before we move on?
Scotland, Cyprus, nothing. Oh,
I'll ask you just very quickly. Steve Clark, new deal to 2026. Good decision, bad decision, or do we just need to wait and see what happens with this campaign?
Do you want my honest opinion?
I don't know, but you're going to give it anyway, so that's fine.
I find that quite baffling, that you would give him a new deal when he failed to get us to the World Cup. I would be saying, right, we'll wait until after this qualifying campaign. We'll wait until the summer, once we get four or five games out the way, and then make a decision about giving a new contract. He failed at the Euros and he failed to get us at the World Cup. Why are you rewarding failure?
Okay, to spin that on his head a wee bit, most successful Scotland manager since Bertie Vokes getting to a playoff.
Did we get to the World Cup?
No. I'm just saying on the, if all things being equal,
okay,
most successful Scotland manager since Bertie Vokes, i.e. actually got us to the playoffs. Yep, really disappointing in the playoffs. Got it wrong against Ukraine, totally accept that. Won the Nations League group. which is all you can ask for him. So that means we're guaranteed a playoff for this, which is great. We've got something in the back pocket. And we're two promotions in a row in the Nations League as well. I'm less fussed about that. But the fact that we've got the playoff already sorted, that's not a failure. He's not failed in that one. You'll give him that. The Nations League. Yeah.
Well, it's a fact.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm giving it to him, obviously. It's a fact. Yeah. I can't take it away from him.
So it's not been complete failure. Yes, there have been failures. Of course there have been.
Failure's when it matters. That's my problem.
No, but this is your problem. You decide when it matters and when it's not. Because
the World Cup matters.
Of course it absolutely.
The Euros matter. When you've got two games at home, we should be doing better.
We got to the playoffs of the World Cup, which is better than any manager's achieved in 20 years. Okay? So that's something. Yep, didn't quite make the final step to the World Cup.
We had a game at Hampden, we failed miserably.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. But we got there, which is the most important thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the Nations League... We won the group.
Right, okay.
We won the group. And I know what you're going to say. We only qualified for the Euros because we had the playoff. But you can't give Alex McLeish credit for winning the Nations League and getting a playoff and not give Steve Clarke credit.
No, I'm giving him credit for it. It's fine.
Secondly, and I think this is another crucial point. Nobody wants to be an international manager. And that's the reason why Gareth Southgate has still got the England job. He would have been emptied long ago.
Yeah.
I think probably.
Yeah. Because the fans don't like him.
And I think that Scotland, you look around, who are we going to get? David Moyes is probably going to be binned for West Ham. Is he an option? Is he just a slightly better Steve Clarke? He's not going to come in and revolutionise anything, is he? You know what I mean? I'm looking about and thinking there's not much there. International football is not the attractive option that it once was. That's why Gareth Southgate is still the England manager. That's why Roberto Martinez keeps getting jobs somehow. That's how Ronald Koeman keeps getting jobs.
I know he doesn't.
International football isn't as attractive. I don't know at this moment in time, just without doing much research, that we're going to get anyone who's much better than Steve Clarke.
Right, you're suggesting that I'm saying that Steve Clarke should be relieved of his duties. I'm not. What I am saying is we've rewarded failure with a new contract.
So
right?
if he qualifies for the World Cup, if we qualify for the Euros, success, great.
No, but if
somebody comes in and gets him, we're left with nobody. And we're left with... His contract was up at the end of this campaign anyway.
But I would have waited until he's... towards the end. That's all I'm saying.
They're obviously confident that we're going to qualify.
Okay.
And if we qualify, that's a success.
Oh, that's what we want.
Yes.
But I just thought it was a bit, they jumped the gun a wee bit and giving them a new contract when we haven't even started this campaign yet.
Is it not nice to see a wee bit of loyalty in football?
So when are you next heading out with Stevie Clarke for a pint?
I've never been out with Stevie Clarke for a pint.
When are you next sitting down with your paymasters to interview him?
I've not interviewed him since the last time.
Have you got Stevie Clarke in your ear right now on a headset or something?
Absolutely not.
You got Frame PR in your head just now? No,
absolutely not.
SFA Big Bosses there in your ears?
Absolutely not. No.
Willie Hockey or somebody, anybody?
Well, after the Queen's Park stuff, I don't think so. I don't think Willie would be very happy with that. I just think, fine. Like, I'm the same. If we don't qualify, it looks like a bit of an own goal. But I do think we'll qualify. So therefore,
confidence in the man. Show confidence. Show loyalty.
And
give him a boost.
I actually like what he said in his interview, which I didn't do, by the way. After he signed the contract, and he was like, "We've made progress. It's undisputed that we've made progress since he took over. I mean, even look at the crowd. Right, it's a sellout on Saturday. His first game against Cyprus, there was about 28,000 people there, or something like that." So that in itself shows that there's been progress because people are buying into it more. Secondly, I liked what he said when he was like, "We've got to this stage, but now we need to qualify for tournaments regularly. And once we start qualifying regularly, it makes it easier. And this squad of players, I think, is more than capable of doing that." And he's obviously got confidence that they can do that as well. So I'm more than happy with
this
that.
The squad have underachieved up to this point, in my opinion.
I bet you he would say that as well. I bet you he'd say that
when you've
as
got
well.
Two games at home in a Euros, we should be doing better. And when you've got a playoff at home against the Ukraine for a World Cup spot to go and play England and Qatar, we should do better. He made changes too late in that game. And I'll never forgive him for that because that really hurt me. So I wanted to take on England in a World Cup and pump them.
We didn't, and we didn't.
And that's why I will never forgive him.
Cool.
Right. We move on.
We can move on.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, let's. I was going to say, let's spin through the rest of the stuff that happened at the weekend domestically. So, congratulations to Hamilton Accies, who won the SPFL Trust Trophy final. Well done,
Hamilton.
Regan Tubble, he was the goal. A backs to the wall performance for Hamilton after the sending off. The sending off was ridiculous, I thought, as
ridiculous.
Well. Very harsh sending off. Ryan Fulton, fantastic in goals for Hamilton. John Rankin had this to say after the game. He said, "See, when we lift that trophy, I believe it's happened because everything that could have went against us today did. This group of players have given us everything since January. The turnaround in the group has been incredible. I'm not surprised that Reagan scores. He's been a sensation for us since he came in." And he mentioned Dylan McGowan, who you've mentioned a few times on the podcast as well. He also said, he was asked, "How are you going to celebrate?" And he was like, "Well, I've already got three kids, but don't be surprised if there's another one due around Christmas time." So, a great night for Mrs. Rankin last night as well. Congratulations to Hamilton. Elsewhere in the Championship, a few games on Friday night. Bit of a shock. Arbroath beating Queen's Park.
Oh.
By the way, Arbroath are going to be fine. Arbroath are going to stay up. They are on 28 points. They've played a game fewer than Cove. And they're already 2 points in front of them. Hamilton remain bottom, but have two games in hand over Cove and one over Arbroath. Queen's Park, on the other hand, they're taking 4 points off of Dundee at the moment. So they're 4 points ahead of Dundee. Well, we'll be saying that, Stephen, sorry. Dundee do have a game in hand. Is this where...
This is it.
Do you think this is
this
it?
This is it. I thought Dundee, their last game, who was it again? Who were they playing again? They won 4-2.
Was it here?
They were down in that game and then the fight back was on and then they won. I thought that was a huge statement from Dundee that night. And I thought, is that the game that turns their season around where they then go on to catch Queen's Park? And I think Queen's Park slipping up against Arbroath has really opened up the door to Dundee.
Yeah.
It's like Queen's Park don't want to win the league because every opportunity they get to stretch their lead over Dundee, they never take it.
I know.
So it's going to be really close. Again, another league championship that's going to go to the wire.
Do we rule out Ayr United, who are just a point behind Dundee? They're on 49, Queen's Park are on 54. They've played the same games, though, so I guess there is that. They'll still have each other to play, though. Ayr United beating Cove Rangers 3-0 on Saturday. Yeah. Dippo getting his 23rd of the season as well. And Cove only 1 point in the last seven games. They're dropping like a stone.
See the striker at Ayr?
I can hear me.
Yeah, he is possibly moving to a bigger club in the summer.
Is that your sources telling you?
Oh, yes, yeah, the sources back again.
And I'm going to tell you another one right now.
Wow.
I know where Nubly might be going. Remember, I keep mentioning Nubly. He's at Livingston.
These are your sources, yeah.
Yeah, my sources have informed me that Mr. Nubly, who signed a new deal at Livingston, will be moving to a club in Edinburgh.
Does it begin with an H?
Yes.
Well, there you go. We'll leave it at that. Does it end with an S?
Yes.
Yeah. Okie dokie. We'll see what happens there. Inverness, Caledonian Thistle beating Partick Thistle in the BBC game on the Friday night. So that pretty much ends Partick Thistle's hopes of getting anywhere
That's
near
done.
The title.
Done.
Yeah, 9 points behind now. But, you know, they're still in fourth place. They're 2 points ahead of Morton. Inverness, 6 points off the playoffs.
Yeah.
They do have a game in hand over Partick Thistle, though, so that could be down to three. They got a chance of sneaking in, obviously. If Inverness get in the playoffs and they get to the final of the Scottish Cup, what a season that would be.
That'd be an unbelievable season.
They'll be getting to the final of the Scottish Cup, though.
Exactly. They play Falkirk.
Apparently, Sean Welsh sending off was ridiculous. I've not seen it.
It's one of the worst.
But John Robertson was in hospitality. I was in hospitality the other night.
He said
they'd immediately put in an appeal straight after the game. It was that bad.
It's one of the worst decisions you will see. Are we doing a WTF VAR?
Nah, we're not.
No. It's just I wanted to mention a couple of wee things from the European Championship games at the weekend.
Nobody cares.
No, the reason I was doing it is to defend our referees and our officials. If you think it's bad here in Scotland, you should see some of the decisions that VAR have been making in the European Championships.
Did you see
the penalty that was given to Kazakhstan against Denmark? It is one of the worst decisions you will ever see.
Did you see the Kazakhstan equaliser though?
Oh, the 2-2 game. Is it 2-2?
Finished 2-2. To make it 2-2. It's a screamer.
It's one of the goals of the season already. But see the penalty that gets them back into the game and go 2-1. It's ludicrous. It's scandalous. And I'm telling you right now, the bosses at UEFA will be hauling that referee over the coals for making that decision. It was shocking. And then
years, it's the anti-Danish agenda that UEFA have.
Yes, it's exactly that. Did you see the penalty that
all these Swedish folk at UEFA hating on Denmark?
Denmark. You know? Did you see the penalty that Italy conceded against England? That was just as ludicrous as a game against Denmark and Kazakhstan.
It's this anti-Italian agenda that UEFA had. It's just ludicrous. No, I mean, and that's the chat about VAR, and I can't really be arse talking about it, to be honest with you, but VAR is a shambles elsewhere as well.
I know.
It's this sort of like pretense that, oh, it's just bad in Scotland. No, it's bad here and it's bad everywhere else as well.
And it's bad in the Premier League and it's bad in the Champions League.
Yep.
Your biggest competitions. Look at the World Cup and some of the bad decisions.
Let's move on to League One.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do, because on Friday night there's a couple of matches. We'll start with Falkirk 0, Kelly Hearts 0. You were there.
I was.
And John, how was it?
It was, well, there was a couple of ridiculous decisions. We scored a perfectly legit goal, which was ruled offside.
I did hear that. Was it definitely onside?
Yeah, go and have a look at it. Absolutely ridiculous decision. And we had a queer penalty.
Miles offside.
Not for the first time this season. Two hands on Callum Morrison, pushed
soft
over in the box.
Nah.
By Joe Carroll.
By the way, see, Callum Morrison, he's way too good for you.
But he can't spell his name right, so that's a problem as well. Who spells Callum with an N at the end?
I know, it is a ridiculous.
What's going on there?
C-A-L-L-U-M-M-N or something.
Stupid. Anyway, more drop points for Falkirk, which means on Saturday, Dunfermline go to Montrose, the only place that Dunfermline have lost in league this season.
Is it?
And we hold them 3-1, so that means Dunfermline are 11 points clear at the top of the table, have one hand and one and a half hands on the title.
And the worrying thing is, if we get beat off Clyde next weekend,
or draw,
Dunfermline can win the championship Falkirk. At Falkirk.
The following weekend. So,
I want that
Clyde,
to happen.
No. Come on, Jim Duffy. We've
Jim
always
Duffy.
Loved you, Duff.
Even I want to see that happen.
No, I don't want to see that.
That'd be brilliant. All the Dunfermline fans turn up at Falkirk for a title celebration.
Dunfermline sold out their allocation in an hour.
Yeah.
We've sold out our allocation
they
already.
They know what's coming.
Do you remember the last time Dunfermline won the championship, right? We beat Raith Rovers in a big game. Martin Hardy scored and all the rest of it. We actually won it the following week against Morton, and then we got the trophy the following week, and their opponents that day were Falkirk. And there wasn't a big Falkirk travelling support that day.
No.
I think there was about 32 Falkirk fans who were there. And obviously about 8,000 Dunfermline. But you weren't one of the fans who came up?
I didn't. No. Gave that one a miss.
Gave that one a miss. Well, we'll see what happens a week on Saturday as well. Elsewhere, Airdrie are on fire at the moment. 5-1 against Clyde. Gabby McGill, a couple of goals. We've got Callum Smith-Frizzell in there. Deveni. And tell you what, going into the playoffs, you and Cameron.
Airdrie.
Well, we say this about playoffs. Momentum is so important.
And they can score goals.
They absolutely can.
They scored a barrel load, Airdrie.
What was it, 5, 6 and 7 in their last three matches?
18 in the last three, but they always bottle it in the playoffs anyway.
They scored 18 in their last three games.
Of course, famous Falkirk never bottle things, do they? Big result for Marvin Bartley, actually, friend of the show, Marvin
Huge.
Bartley, beating FC Edinburgh by 3-1 in the capital as well. Queen of the South are 7 points away from the playoffs. Probably left it just a wee bit too late. They're on a good run of form, but 7 points is a big gap to make up when there's only 6 games left. Alloa, by the way, are chugging along fairly nicely. Also won on Saturday against managerless Peterhead. David Robertson getting the bin during the week after what? Only a handful of games, really.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked out at all for them. And Alloa, only 4 points behind Falkirk now. Falkirk do have a game in hand, but it looks like Alloa are definitely in the playoffs. They're going along nicely under Brian Rice, so they could be causing a few problems as well. Not going to be easy in the playoffs, just as well that we've won the league. Finally, in League Two, it was a big, big game between Stirling and Dumbarton, and it finished all square. So it's as you were. Stirling now being 2 points clear at the top of the table, ahead of Dumbarton, who were league leaders for so long this season. But it looks like it's going to go right down at the wire.
It is. Only 2 points, isn't it?
Massive win for Bonnyrigg on Saturday as well, leapfrogging Albion Rovers. They're now ninth in the table, but again, they're only a point above Albion Rovers. And unbelievable, I didn't actually notice this until a couple of weeks ago, Elgin have been dragged right back into it as well. They're only 3 points off the bottom of the table as well. So squeaky bum time at Boroughbridge Briggs. And of course they lost 2-0 to East Fife on Saturday as well, who are third in the table. It's all a wee bit tight for the playoffs as well. 1-1 between Stenny and Forfar, and goalless between Annan and Stranraer.
Just want to remind you of my prediction at the start of the season. Albion Rovers would either finish bottom or win the league.
Brian Reid also got sacked on Saturday night, yeah, as Albion Rovers manager.
Albion Rovers currently are bottom of the league, as I predicted, or I thought they might win the league. So it's either one. Yeah, either or.
Exactly. So yeah, you were kind of right sometimes. Today. Yeah.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, we have some strips to talk about, because the Scotland strip is a beauty.
Oh, it's the best. I think it's the best strip in decades.
So we put it on Twitter last night, at Big Football Scott, if you want to follow us, if you want to get involved. And we've had hundreds get back to us in terms of the greatest strip they have ever seen. Not just Scotland, to be fair, there's lots of other ones as well. Dogger Saints podcast, he's the first reply, so I'll go to him. A cracking St Johnstone strip.
I don't like
green.
That.
You don't like that?
That's no. Disgusting.
Right, what I'll do is I'll just show you all the strips and you just tell me whether you like them or not. So okay. Hibs Retro, I've got involved, a classic Steve Cowan number with Bucta on the front of it as well.
And it's got those little chevrons on, yeah, the sleeve. Yeah, and the collar. It's not,
yeah,
bad actually.
Yeah, not bad at all. Let's move on to David Badura, who says this Inverness strip from back in the day. It is actually quite nice. I do quite like that at all. If you like to describe
it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Don't, it's like an eyesore. It's got like a red bit at the top and a blue bit in the middle. It's like half red, half blue.
Hello
blue
to Gary
sleeves.
Walker, who's picked a couple of Ranger strips. So these look sort of 80s.
Oh, you don't like these ones.
Yeah, you like these ones. That's early 90s. That's a sort of Mark Hatley strip that reminds me of.
That is the Mark Hatley blue strip. The one before that, yeah, the white one. Classic.
C.R. Smith in the front of it as well. What about, let's go for, oh, there's the Pink Flamingo, another Rangers fan. You'll like this one as well. This is sort of,
no, I don't like that.
Dick Advocaat.
That's Dick Advocaat. I remember Neil McCann wearing that strip.
Yeah. What else have we got here as well? We've got a couple of old school Newcastle strips that have come in. This is David Gillen. We've got Timo Asprea.
See, when it comes to football tops, I don't like tops with stripes. I don't like, I just like a plain top.
What about?
I don't like stripes.
What about hoops?
I don't like hoops either.
No.
Stripes, oh, I see you did there.
Yeah, I've very good. A few Morton ones come in, because obviously we've got a big Morton contingent who listen to the show. Hello, yes, all the Morton fans.
Yes.
And we always speak about you every single week. Chris McNulty has sent in these ones. A classic Umbro Morton number.
It's a stripe. I don't like the stripes.
What about the yellow and blue one?
Oh, the
then?
Yellow's nice. That's very Brazil-like.
Yeah, very Sweden. Yeah, almost. Sweden, and yeah, what about the classic tartan one?
Buchanan toffees.
Buchanan toffees as well.
The classic Morton top, yeah.
What else have we got here? Oh, we've got a classic Bankies home strip from 77 and 78.
Oh, let's see that.
David Lundberg has sent these in. Look at that.
I love that.
That's a belter.
Do you know, it reminds me of the Peru strip a wee bit.
It is actually, yeah, you're totally
like the
right.
Peru strip, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, here's a classic Liverpool one. I know
I'm a Liverpool fan.
Hitachi.
Oh, I remember Sammy Lee wearing that.
Yep, that is a good one as
and
well.
Soonest.
Javier Monton says this is the best Scotland strip, probably from a few years ago, around about 2013, 2014.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I'm not a fan of the collar. The best Scotland strip for me, I love the strip that we've got out just now for the 150th anniversary, but I did like the Scotland top from the 1986 World Cup. You know, the one that had the stripe on the shorts? The top for that was stunning, but I also like the 1978 World Cup top.
They are very good.
I've got that in the house, and I absolutely adore that strip with the V-neck.
Yeah.
Gorgeous top. Absolutely gorgeous.
Ian Porter has sent in a few ones as well. A classic Newcastle McEwen's Lager on the front.
McEwen's Lager, yeah.
Also, the Rangers one. That's a sort of Gaza strip, isn't
that's
it?
That's the Gaza strip, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't see what this is. Is this Morton? Yeah, that's Morton as well. So another Buchanan Toffees one.
Looks like Argentina.
Yeah, a wee bit Argentina theme with that one. What else have we got here? We've got loads of them. If you want to go and look at just the full list, by the way, As I said, it's at Big Football Scott. Some absolute belters in there. There's a classic Rangers one with Davy Cooper on it as well.
Oh, amazing.
So yeah. Great Strip McCune's Lager, Umbro number. This is one of my Andrew Fotheringham, thanks very much, pal. I'm Fairmont fan sending this one in. It's a green and purple number from back in the day.
Oh my word, landmark.
Landmark. Class. Landmark furnishing. I mean, that's some of the actual sponsors as well are hilarious.
Can I just say, it's match winner always seem to do the best tops. Remember the old match winner? They're back, by the way, as a company match winner, and they're starting to make retro tops again.
Oh, tremendous.
So, match winner always. Like, what was your favourite Dunfermline top? I bet it was a match winner.
I can't really remember. I remember one, and I think it was about 2000, 2001, 2002, and it was actually predominantly black with the thin white pinstripes.
I remember that, yes.
Reminds me of Barry Nicholson,
Andrew
Skerla.
No, Stevie Crawford.
I really like that one. I can't remember who made it, though. It might have been Le Coq Sportif. exactly. The 1996, back to about 94, I think, Scotland strip. The tartan one, maybe was Euro 96.
That was the Euros in 96. I wasn't a fan of that top. No. Although, it does bring back memories of that Ali McCoy's goal against Switzerland, that right foot thunderball in the top corner.
Hello to John, the Clyde fan, who sent this in as well. It's the centenary top for Clyde, which was worn in 1978.
Stunning.
It's a belter.
That's really nice. A lovely top with the red collar.
Like that one as well. I've got another few classic hip strips. The one with Frank Sozzi.
Good strip.
Carlsberg on the front as well. Yeah, another classic.
How did he end up at Hibs?
I've got no idea.
What a player.
What else have we got here? We've got, France, Platini.
Oh, that is
now
a thing of beauty.
Now, that is a thing of beauty.
From, I'm guessing that must be like
84.
Would that have been 82? Was that the tournament when Schumacher knocked out, what was the French player's name again?
Battiston.
Battiston, that was it, yeah.
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 I don't know where I pulled that from.
Wow.
I honestly don't know where I got that. Anyway, you can go and look at the full list. And by the way, we're actually, we're making some renovations here at the radio station.
Are we?
Looking for decorations. So, if anyone would like to send in an old strip, it doesn't need to be your favourite strip, but if you've got any old strips that you're thinking about chucking anyway,
give them to us.
Give them to us, right? If you want to DM us on social media, and your strip could have a starring role on our new wall of strips that I've just decided that we're going to have. Okay?
Where are you pinning them up about?
Oh, we'll get it sorted. That's fine. we'll get it sorted. It'll look good. So, if you want to DM us, if you're interested in having your strip on the wall, then we can do that. It doesn't need to be your favourite, because you know these things are sentimental, and we're not asking you to part
with. If there's one that's shit that you don't like, we'll take it off you.
Precisely that. That's what I'm getting at. Okay, right. Let's quickly move on. And do you want to do our new game next?
Yes.
Yes.
We've created a game because there's not been much else to talk about, because there's also no Premiership football. And John decided that he was going to create a game that Steve and I would go up against each other.
He's created a jingle as well.
Has he?
And here it is. Here's the name of the game. The Ace of Clubs. The Ace of Clubs. The Ace of Clubs.
The Ace of Clubs. This is good.
Do you think
that's why I get paid the big bucks, everyone?
Do you think Callum will pass his probation at STV? Fingers crossed.
Intern Callum, come back, please. All is forgiven.
Right, we thought, you know, it's been a quiet week in club football. Yeah. International football's on, so we thought we'd do Ewan versus Stephen, right, in a game called Ace of Clubs. Right, now in front of me, I have Scotland players that have all surpassed the 50 cap mark, much like Callum McGregor did the weekend, right? Uh-huh. I am going to give you their club sides, and you have to tell me who it is.
Oh, who the player is?
Yeah. So I'm just going to run through the club sides. So that's why it's called.
Wait, the name.
Push the button.
Yes.
Ace of clubs.
Right.
Okay. So first to three wins. You've got to buzz in when you think you know the answer. If you do buzz in, though, get out of the game, play hands to the other person unless they get it wrong.
Okay. How do we buzz in?
Give me your buzzer, Stephen. What will your buzzer be?
My buzzer will be
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
Okay.
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
Dog's 50 kilos. Ewan, what's your buzzer going to be?
Okay.
Brilliant. Remember, they've all got over 50 caps for Scotland, these players. Right, you ready to play? Yeah. Ace of Clubs.
Okay, let's go.
Fantastic. First player.
No, you need to play the jingle again, mate.
Right. Jesus.
What we're playing?
Playing. clubs.
The ace of clubs.
Okay, let's go for it.
Who will be the ace of clubs?
Okay.
Right, first player out. Teams are Kilmarnock,
Chris Boyd.
You didn't buzz.
Chris Boyd.
Wrong answer. He's not more than 50 caps. So
easy. Stroll in here. Kilmarnock, Rangers, Everton, Norwich City, Heart of Midlothian.
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
Stephen Naismith.
1-0.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Next one on the ace of clubs. Morton, Leeds United, Manchester United.
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
Ewan was in first.
Was it Dickoff?
Wrong answer. Control hands to Stephen.
Do I need to press my thing again?
No, I heard it.
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
I press that again. It's Joe Jordan.
It is Joe Jordan.
Right, 2-0.
This is going so well for you, Ewan.
Right, go.
Right, okay. Here's one. Right. Dundee United. Full stop.
Full stop. Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
Stephen Mill.
Paul Sturrock.
No, Dundee United, full stop. Ewan, member over 50 caps for Scotland. That's who it has. Ewan.
Morris Malpass.
Correct.
Yes! 2-1. Yes! Get in.
2-1.
Right. We went to the same primary school, me and Morris Malpass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and high school. Yeah.
Right, next up in the ace of clubs.
Kay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you will get this one quite quickly. Hibs. Celtic. Ewan.
Gary Caldwell.
Oh, no! Oh, it's wrong! Oh, no! Stephen, no.
Oh, no!
This is for the win.
Scott Brown.
Oh, no, you should have held on there. You should have. If I was to give you Monaco,
John Collins!
Fulham.
John Collins! Why did you not just wait for the rest of the teams?
I don't know.
I don't know. Dundee United, Derby, Blackburn, West Ham United, Rangers, Charlton Athletic, Portsmouth, Southend for the win, Stephen Mill. For the ace of clubs.
I can tell you.
For the ace of clubs.
That player is none other than Mr. Christian Daly.
Well done, Stephen.
Yes! Christian!
The ace of clubs!
Cheats! Tremendous.
You are the ace of clubs, Stephen Mill.
Thank you very much.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Let's do it, Scottish Football. We're a bakery. We ask you this week for your suggestions on At Big Football Scott. So, John McCormack says, James McPakewell Tart. Okay, happy with that one. Ian Black Forest Gatto, Big Eccles Cake.
Are we going to go through every single one of these?
Yes, we are. Hello to Darren Hodgson, who says Frank Sausage Roll. Not bad. Russell Latapie. Nah, not getting anything.
These are pish.
Scott Killen, Scott Sinclair.
No.
Scott Baines, which is quite good. And Greenock Morton's Rolls.
What's Bane?
Scott Bakers.
Baines the Bakers.
Oh, Baines the Bakers.
Yeah. John Bleasdale says Brian Yeaston. We've got Jamie Brennan coming in with Sconor Goldson, Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Flapjack, and Chicken Bake Young. I got a small titter, I would say that, yeah. Matt Evans, Seb Pikestra.
Pikestra.
Ross 1874, Willie Balds the Baker. Rocky Road Bashiri. Nah, not getting anything. Sam McElwain says Bundy United.
What?
Bun.
Bundy. Oh, I like a hot cross bun. Do you like a hot cross bun?
Nah.
I do. And do you know what I like about a hot cross bun? It goes lovely with a cup of tea. And it goes very nice with some Lurpak butter in it once you've heated the hot cross bun under the grill for a couple of minutes.
I'm not a big cup of tea fan. I don't drink a lot of tea.
But the hot cross bun, it works really nice.
I'll try that, okay. Fergus Blythe says, Will Loaf Flood. Will Loaf Flood. Ange Pasty Coglum.
These are so bad. I mean, you can just, there's no reaction. I mean, it just says it all, doesn't it?
Keeson Yum Yum.
That's it. Now we're getting there.
And Yeast Fife. JD says John Brown Bread. Mark Warburton, of course. Hovis Mugabe is quite good, actually. I like that. Nizzy says Sergio Panini. Rakarik says Rio Atati Scone and Mark McGee's Crispy Roll. Robin says Ewan Cameron tends to waffle a load of rubbish.
Who said that?
Robin.
Robin. Fly away.
Davey Rowison. I actually, that took me a few seconds to register that you'd actually said that.
It's the pattern's worse. Robin, fly away.
So that's probably one of the worst weeks that we've had. I would say, and this is of no fault of yours, John, because I should have known as well, we have done if Scottish football.
Now, I
bakery.
Asked you before I started I know.
Well, I've been on the show. I don't remember doing the bakery one before.
Nah, I said to Stephen, have we done Scottish bakery? He said, no, that'll do. They'll love that. That'll be a good one.
Well, nobody else has picked up on it because I didn't hear it.
No, I think a couple of people did.
Oh, did they?
I got a couple of tweets, yeah. Because we actually did if Scottish football were a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker.
Right, okay.
We did it back in the day. So, next week, we definitely haven't done this. If Scottish football was wrestling.
Yes,
oh, no. Yeah, so that's your favourite subject.
I hate wrestling with passion.
This is off the back of Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in Aberdeen last week, amazing. Getting a tour of Pittodrie.
Who's he?
And big wrestler for back in the day. Yeah. Plus, it's also topical because it's WrestleMania this weekend as well in Los Angeles. So keep your eyes on our Twitter page at BigFootballScott. Here are some examples for you. Stone Cold Nathan Austin.
Are we really doing this? Nobody cares about the wrestling unless you're 18 or under.
Bret Hart.
I met him.
Jake the Snake Hasty.
I thought it was quite good.
Rowdy Roddy Grant as well. So yeah. You can message us at Big Football Scott. And we'll stick a post up there. And you can put your suggestions in for that. If Scottish football were wrestling, there'll be some good ones coming in. The more creative, the better. Thank you very much for that one. Right, any other business, you and Cameron?
Robin fly away.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good time to end the podcast. So I've been Stephen Mill, here's you and Cameron. Thank you very much for listening and putting up with us. Remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter at Big Football Scott, and we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss one, and you can rate us as well. Give us a big juicy 5 stars, please. Get your tweets in. We'll be back next week at the usual time for another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Bye bye for now.
Bye.
We're Robin and we're flying away.